Warning, this podcast has stories of real-life events and true crime that happens every day. These stories may contain adult language and graphic or disturbing details not suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is advised. In our society, most people are content to go through their daily lives safely and peacefully. But our society is not always safe or peaceful. For that reason, some men and women answer a higher calling to defend and protect their fellow man. You probably know someone who is one of these people, or maybe you are one of these people. The ones who see and do the things most people would never want to. These things are sometimes heroic and beautiful, but often they are horrific and terrifying. It's these things they don't share about with other people. It's these things they carry with them, so you don't have to. But when they get together, they talk to each other about them. And they call these stories war stories. Welcome to another episode of War Stories. I'm your host, Fletch Fletcher, and I am, as always, a retired cop and the king of useless information. As always, is my co-host, Zohan. What's up?
Mm-hmm. I am tired.
Yeah, you I just got tired. Off a graveyard shift, didn't you?
Yeah.
Protecting the citizens of your fair city that shall remain nameless.
Yeah, the ones that kick each other's asses over fucking fortune cookies from Panda Express.
Well, I mean, if there's ever a reason to fight, it's over a fortune cookie from Panda Express.
Fuck. Well, you heard about that one guy that actually won the lottery off one of those fortune cookies.
What?
Right?
No.
The number ones?
Yeah, he flipped it over and it's got the lucky numbers on the back and he played them and he won the fucking lottery.
I guess they were really lucky numbers. Well, as you can hear, joining us from our Manstalgia podcast, now showing up for our War Stories podcast again, is Cartman. What's up, dude?
What's up?
What's going on?
Just drinking a bang.
Yeah. I brought you here for a specific reason. We'll get into it. But you listened to an episode and you called me right after you heard it and had some choice words to say. And one of which was, fuck, motherfucker.
Yeah, so I was listening to that
episode. Well, we'll get to it because I want to remind everybody who's with us.
Yeah, so shut
carry
up.
Carry on.
Well,
fuck you guys.
I'm gonna.
Can you turn this volume down?
I'll leave this
fucking
podcast.
I can't.
I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding because it's going to get louder.
I know, it is. Yeah. And as you can hear, the magnificent Majestic Salty. What's up?
Oh, Majestic. I like that. That's a new one.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the beer's growing back in
nicely.
It's
coming in.
I like
it. It's
and
coming in. Might have to come off, though.
Might have to come completely off.
It's hot outside.
Yeah, it is. It's
this shit's getting
we're old. We're in Dallas, Southern California, and we're...
It's not about you. It's about the beard. It stays.
I can save the hair.
It's your brand. Hey, if Bob Ross couldn't cut his afro because it was his logo on every bottle of paint.
No way.
I think the beard has to stay.
I can save it.
Well, like beard. Like,
like
put
it
in when you have
box.
Your ponytail cut off so you give to a kid with cancer.
Yeah, I can save
you
it.
Cut your beard off and you donate it to a man who's patchy and can't grow a legitimate beard. Cartman.
Well, it wouldn't match anyway.
We just do a beard taxidermy. Like so we'll just right. take the beard
ginger
and then
beard.
Cast a bust and actually
right.
put the beard on it, mount it.
Are you going to grow the mohawk back at all or are you leaving, it, are you leaving it close cropped? All right.
I like aerodynamic.
You know, high speed, some drag.
Yeah, some drag. More drag as I get older.
That's right. Drag an ass.
Yeah, drag an ass. That's what I mean.
What's up, Mike? You're back.
Yep.
And I brought you back for a reason because that ties into... why Carbon's here? We got a pretty good response. What did you think of listening to yourself on the podcast?
I hate the sound of my own voice.
It's very strange. I agree. It's weird. I think we're all that way.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah,
I'm just like, oh my god,
dude. Do I really sound like that?
Do I sound like that? You sound like a whiny kid.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well,
but I think you critique yourself harder than anybody else does.
Always, I guess.
Yeah.
I just don't like to listen to myself. I can only imagine my poor daughter.
Did she listen to it?
No.
Because then I can only imagine your point.
I can just think of her listening to my droning voice and being like, oh my God, this is going to be 18 years of this, huh?
Just put it on to put her to sleep. You're like, Daddy was on a podcast, kid. I don't have to read you a story. You just get the same story over and over and over. Yeah. All of a sudden, your kid's got a badass Samuel Jackson impression. What? Where did that come
She'll
from?
Never lose her weapon.
That's for sure. I know where my binky is, Dad.
She got a Red Ryder. She clears rooms.
That's right. You trained her. Well, you learned with an airsoft gun. You're, you know, teaching her early because that learning curve is steep.
And it's not, you know, a lethal you know, mistake if she messes up with a BB gun.
Right. It's just a little, you know, pellet in the ass.
But she still learns all the fundamentals. Yeah. She treats it like a real gun.
Damn right.
Which is, you know, that's cool to see. A little girl have, you know, trigger discipline.
Yeah, it's that's like pretty legit.
Habit at this point.
Yeah, I took my kid to the range and he'd been playing with toy guns for years and I'd always, you know, did what my dad did, which is even toy guns you treat like they're real. And so when I took him to the range, I didn't know how he was going to be, but he had great range discipline just because of that. So
yeah.
I think that's part of the problem too, is they're not letting kids play with toy guns, right? That's inherently, you give a kid a stick, it's either a sword or a gun. Mm-hmm. Right, or at least little boys. Mm-hmm. So you take away their toy guns, all of a sudden guns are this magical, mysterious, curious thing, and the only time you let them play with them is in Call of Duty, where they get to blast people wholesale. Mm-hmm. So when they get a real one, they're like, oh, I know how to use this. Mm-hmm.
And I can do this with it.
Right.
Because I've been doing it for the last year on video games.
Exactly.
Sure.
So instead of realizing the difference between an actual firearm and a digital firearm. Mm-hmm.
Man, it's all the same.
It's serious, man. We just solved it. Let's go home. We solved the gun problem. Let's go home.
Yeah.
Toy guns.
I am home.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I got nowhere to go.
You stay here.
Everyone else is leaving.
So now, going back to Cartman's story, you called me literally the morning the show was released. It was Monday morning. I'm walking into work. The show probably dropped at midnight the previous night. You had probably listened to it on your way to work or something. You called me that morning. And it was after Mike's episode. And the floor is yours, because just that moment was so hilarious to me as I'm walking into work. Made the rest of my day worth it.
So I didn't realize that Mike and I were actually in Iraq at the same time. But like you said, the episode dropped and I listened to it. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, wait a minute. That was this motherfucker's unit?
And to be clear, Mike, to refresh, Mike was a combat medic, MP, assigned to the 82nd Airborne in the Army. Mm-hmm. And you're a Marine.
Yes.
But you're both in Iraq at the same time.
Yep.
And despite being a big country, you're both in Ramadi at the same time.
Yep.
And you listen to the episode, and then what?
So, I called you, bitching about him.
Yes.
And then the next thing I know, hey, you want to come on the podcast?
So, what was your main complaint?
Why the fuck we always have to watch out for the Army losing their shit?
Wait, hold on. Were you guys watching out for it, though? Like, hey, if you happen to stumble upon...
Okay, so I'll give you the backstory. So when he called me, and I think I talked to Zohan about this, it was a Jerry Springer moment. It was, he called me and goes, oh, man, what the fuck? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, I'm listening to his story. And, you know, I know Mike, but I didn't know him, you know, in Iraq or anything. We weren't together or anything, but we were in the same area, same time. And he starts telling the story, and I'm like, wait, what the fuck? What the fuck? And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, man, I remember getting sent out to find a fucking gun, and everybody was bitching that the fucking 82nd Airborne lost a gun, and so we had to go out and fucking look for it, and my fucking Humvee got stuck, or my MRAP got stuck, and I had to tow it out with a Humvee with a broken winch, and blah, 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 blah. Dude, you fucking vented at me so hard about that. So what happened?
Why didn't you record it?
So what happened? So, yeah. So tell me how you got a MRAP stuck.
Yeah. So let's back up. So, my unit ends up deploying to, Iraq. We're in Ramadi. And at the time we're actually getting ready to transition. The Marines are leaving and the Army's taking over. So that's why we're in the same AO at the same time.
Yep.
So we're going through and we learn all our routes, and there's one thing that we learned when we got there.
What a small world. Fucking small world.
Yeah. What a small world.
Mike and I, and obviously Zohan, we all went to high school together. So super small world.
Right. Half a world away only to hook up looking for the same fucking
firearms.
That's
what firearms. I mean. Yeah. What the hell?
So there's something that we learned, is that the MRAPs, while they're amazing vehicles, they need to stay on very hard, compact asphalt. Like, if you put those things in a centimeter of sand, it gets stuck. Like, you put it in a centimeter of sand on asphalt, it gets stuck.
Like a fucking Chevy Tahoe does better on sand than an MRAP.
Yeah. So, I realized this. I get one tire fucking squealing as we first get into country. I'm like, okay.
Sounds like operator error, because we used MRAPs and never got them stuck. And we didn't have any pavement.
You're in the Army. You had better gear. Fuck off.
An MRAP's an MRAP.
Wait, they give the Army a different MRAP than the Marine Corps?
Yeah, they actually have
the Marine
categories.
Corps doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I had a cat too.
Okay, so if you stop eating all the crayons and read the manual.
First off, clearly you've never tried a crayon.
Who hasn't tried a crayon?
Exactly.
Everybody's tried a crayon.
We all stop.
Wait, but you were in Afghanistan.
And I had no asshole.
The sand is different. Oh,
yeah.
It is different sand.
It actually is different sand.
Oh, I mean, for Christ's sake, the sand is different from Zuma to freaking
true
Santa Barbara. So.
Sorry, continue.
True. The more that direction, the more baby powder it gets.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
Yep. Like, literally, we called it moon dust.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. I still have gear with that moon dust on it. It's like flour.
It doesn't come
it's
off. Fucking Chernobyl.
It doesn't come it's off. Crazy.
I'm on a Chernobyl kick, by the way. Okay, go ahead.
So we end up going out on this mission to help some engineers build a post for the Iraqi police.
Mm-hmm.
And so while we're out there, they're like, hey, so we just got word somebody from the army lost a weapon. I'm like, okay, well, whatever.
Tough
like,
shit for them.
Yeah, we've been in this war for a while. There's probably our weapons floating around all over the place. With the enemy
hence the difference. Also, the Marine Corps loses weapons. Like, ah, oh, fuck it. We're not getting that back.
It's so political in the army. It's right? ridiculous. But I have a feeling that the Marine Corps, they'll just like six of them will just get you in the closet and then beat the snot out of you and then right. just call it a good day while you're in a coma.
Pretty much. Yeah. So
okay.
So we get word that hey, there's this weapon missing from the army. Okay, cool. It's in country. That's great. And they're like, no. It's in your AO. It's out here. Okay, cool. Where? Where it? So we're near FOB Eagle, right, which was on the east side of the Euphrates.
Nobody's going to know where
now
the
they
fuck
know
FOB
where that's at. Dude. Oh my God. They know where that's at now. Son of a bitch.
God damn it. We're giving out sensitive military intel.
So we're over there.
I think that's the fucking Department of Defense at the door right now.
Fuck you guys.
There's going to be some ISIS guy out there listening to this be like, bro there's FOB there?
He say FOB Eagle is by the Euphrates?
Dude, now you're just on the same level.
Maybe
as
we can go
enough.
Find the flag.
Who was it, dude? Fuck. Geraldo.
Holy shit.
Geraldo Rivera. Fucking drawing the map in the
yeah,
sand.
Yeah, the map. I remember
you just
that.
Literally did that. I remember podcast that actually. Version.
Oh, right. Okay, go on.
Fucking
so anyway.
CNN piece of shit.
So we're out there for this mission. It's supposed to be 3 hours, and of course it literally took an entire day that we're out there. And so we're sitting there, and we're providing security for the combat engineers while they're building this fucking thing. And all of a sudden it goes
building
from...
what fucking thing?
They're building a post for the Iraqi army.
Got it. Okay.
All of a sudden it turns into, hey, you're going to provide security for them, and now you're going to go around and do patrols and try and find this rifle.
Yay.
What?
To be fair, it wasn't your rifle.
It was not mine. But I feel really bad because I think Iraq experienced the largest monsoonal rainstorms ever. Like when we got, it literally rained mud on me at one point, and I was like, fuck this whole place.
Wait, the air was so dusty that the rain coming through the air turned to mud and
yes.
rained mud.
Basically, yes. It rained through the dust storm that it pushed in, yeah, and it rains mud
it's
out
rain
there.
It's rain and yeah. a dust storm at the same time.
That's fucking magical.
That's
right
when
there.
I realized that God hates that.
Yeah,
area.
I was like,
that day.
I was
that
like,
day
fuck
that
this
shit
place.
Happened.
And I was like, I can totally see why this is the cradle of civilization. Everybody wanted to get the fuck out of here.
I was on post.
You hate
that day?
The Jews? Fuck you.
Fucking camel spiders and mud storms.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Right. Camel spiders?
Oh, God. Those things are the size of fucking cats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're huge.
Yeah. Cats are
they're
afraid
huge.
Of camel spiders.
So the first mud storm that I went through, I was sitting on post and I ended up calling the SOG and I was like, hey, can we just leave? What do you mean leave post? Well, I can't see anything, so what the fuck is the point of being here? And, oh, by the way, this weapon is caked in mud. It's not going to work. So what's the point of us even being up here?
It's important because if he got stuck, that's probably why, because we couldn't just lose a weapon. We had to lose it when it was nice and muddy out.
Right. Yeah, you picked the best time. So it wasn't your rifle. You were just rifle adjacent when it was lost.
Yeah.
And now you're stuck in an entirely different branch of the service looking for it.
Well, it wasn't just that day. So we had that day. We go out. We're doing... Now, dismounted patrols, walking around trying to find a rifle. Okay, seems pointless. But hey, somebody higher up thought it was a great idea. For the next 2.5-3 months, every time we went out, hey, just so you know, if you see anybody carrying around a M4, that's ours. Go get it.
Wait, so like literally it was like a BOL, be on the lookout
yes.
for the rifle? Just,
yes.
Just while you're out and about, if you happen to see a Haji with a really nice M4, that's not his.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
If it hadn't fallen under 82nd, them kind of cushioning that stigma, because remember, they lost one and we lost one.
Well, yeah, they lost one like a month after you.
So joke's on you, because you thought you were looking for the same one, but you were actually looking for two.
Jerry.
Wow. You were just looking twice. That's all it was.
So we did end up getting a little bit of revenge. So the Army went into Camp Ramadi, and we were sitting there, and every time we leave, we'd stage our rifles to go into the chow hall, because for some reason you couldn't take them in there. We would leave a gear guard. Well, the Army doesn't do that. They just stack their shit and go walking in.
You speak about the Army like it's... like none of these rules ever applied to me.
Okay, I love it, because the look of shock and horror on his face. Like, I'm just Jerry.
So, some puzzle pieces just went...
Wait a minute, for me. Stop.
Wait, what?
You can't take your rifle into the chow hall?
Yeah, what are you talking about? I've
Who
never seen that.
Who doesn't take their rifle? I mean, you're in country.
So, in a FOB, right, you take your
forward operating base.
Right. At an actual camp, like in the green zone.
Yeah, once you're in the green zone.
Or you're at Ramadi.
Because nothing can happen there, right?
Well, if you're an outside unit walking, or like a transient unit is what they'd call you, because you'd stay in that stuff, then yeah, you do for the most part. But you'll see Navy personnel and Air Force personnel that, and there's sections of that camp that they're just like.
In civvies,
yeah. We don't want to, like, they set up like a little, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. It makes.
Like jeans and a polo shirt.
Yeah.
Flip-flops and board shorts.
Air Force has, like, pool parties and stuff over there.
Yeah.
It's not a joke. It's not...
In country.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they'll be like, you know, yeah, ladies can only wear one pieces, but, you know, because they already know.
So we...
Because they already know. Wow.
The invention of the burkini right here.
There it is.
So we decide we're going to take some revenge, and we walk outside, and lo and behold, there's a whole bunch of Army weapons and... nobody around. Well, right before you get ready to deploy, you learn how to disassemble a weapon real quick. Disassemble and assemble.
Uh-huh.
We took apart, I think, probably 30 rifles.
And then, these are the pieces that clicked into place for you, Mike?
And then we started playing, how far can we hide these parts? That's fucked up. And as we're headed back to our vehicles, we realize, hey, we have a fucked up door. There's an Army Humvee. With nobody around it. We no longer have a fucked up door.
Oh, no. Did you jack the Humvee door off the arm? I thought they weren't the same Humvee.
First off, we don't steal anything.
We reappropriate.
We reappropriated a little bit of vehicle equipment to make sure that our stuff was properly able to be used.
And that's how a safety brief was born.
Okay, so now you paid the price for this. Okay, so...
For us, it didn't really matter because we were around. But, like, Army-wide, they're like, do not, under any circumstances, stack your weapons around anywhere. And if you're leaving a vehicle outside, there should be a guard with the vehicle anyway.
Okay, always. So you remember them doing this.
I remember hearing the brief attached to that, which makes sense now. Cause, but they were like, but like that's our first sergeant was just all like, don't leave your shit out because the Marines will steal it.
So Mike inadvertently made Cartman dig an MRAP out of the mud, and then inadvertently you got revenge on him by making him listen to his safety briefing on not leaving your shit out where Marines can get at it.
Yeah, like an SI check after any post we went to. Like anytime we went in somewhere, we had to do a full sensitive item check. And then, that was just what was attached to it. They're like, because we even got our own people stealing shit out here. Like, oh.
Dude, what the fuck?
It's Guadalcanal all over
crazy.
Again.
It's slow.
It's Guadalcanal all over again.
It slowed down over there. It wasn't constant combat anymore, and motherfuckers just
got
more
time on your hands.
Yeah.
It was sniper pop shots and IEDs. The sniper pop shot would be like one round, crack. Well, that was close. Where the fuck did it come from? And that was it.
Yeah. It was stuff like that, and I mean, they'd get people. There were a couple really good snipers in the AO, and they were shooting people under the armpit and stuff when they'd lift C-wire on top of vehicles and stuff.
Wow. The dude that came in from Iran?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So they had some interesting characters out there, and I'm sure a lot of those guys were ISIS and then died after that. Or
they
brought
in
they go
a sniper
to.
From Iran?
Yeah, they were, of course. There were all sorts of foreign
called
people
the bullpen,
there.
They're like, give me the southpaw.
I'm like speaking to this guy. I'm like, dude, get out of the road one day. I'm like, dude, move the fuck out of the way. And he's like, all right, bro, chill. Like perfect English.
Yeah.
Just looked at
that would freak me out.
Yeah,
that would fuck me out too. Yeah. Like, wait, what?
Because you typically don't speak the same language unless you know you know, Arabic.
Or it sounds like you're buying electronics.
He didn't even have an accent. Yeah, there was none of that. He was just like, fuck, bro. Yeah, it was weird.
Bro, my name's Kyle. Get him on.
It's always Kyle. Fucking Kyle. Well, okay, so we had our Jerry Springer moment, so now you're here. So what's your story?
That was a story.
Oh my god. Okay, funny. Do you need a minute?
Yeah, I didn't prepare a story. I just...
You don't just have them on tap?
Fuck your dog. Mike, go ahead.
I always meter my stuff because I don't want to get in trouble in some spots.
Right.
I'll tell you guys a story. All right, I'll tell you. It's kind
of. I love it how he gives the army a ton of shit because he's a Marine, and then you fucking ask him to tell a war story, and he's like, and then the fucking army guy's like, yeah, here, hold on.
All right. So I'll tell you guys a story.
He's
I'm
too
not
busy eating crayons.
I'm not using.
Cartman's over there. Semper fuck, motherfucker.
I just want another red.
Pass me the red crayon.
I really need a red.
Well, that's weird.
Purple one. Do you guys have the flesh tone flavor? That's
flesh tone.
I just need to settle my stomach. Those ones really, they're easy on the stomach.
So we have a course as medics. It's called OEMS. And what it is, a live tissue lab.
What?
A live tissue lab.
Right, no, but explain.
So like they'll stake a pig down and get them knocked out on ketamine, and then they'll come out and like hack the pig's leg open, and then they'll be like, medic.
Oh shit.
And then like three medics run out
and have to stitch the pig up.
And you pack wounds and apply tourniquets because pig's anatomy is pretty similar to human anatomy.
Oh my god. As soon as you started this, I was like, here it fucking comes.
Did they use beagles too?
No.
Beagles.
So
Cartman has a beagle.
This is the MP unit I'm with. So part of the MP's, you know, jobs on any base is when idiots get together and want to protest, you know, like PETA or whatever. They'll get all the MPs together and they kind of work like crowd control and, you know.
So PETA will come and protest a base here.
In Hawaii, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they know
instead of rocks and bottles, they're taking celery and carrots.
Right. When PETA kills more dogs than any animal shelter. Whatever. Yeah.
In a way, like, you justify it because you're like, yeah, it's a pig. It's probably going to get slaughtered for meat anyway. I'm learning how to save somebody's life. It's worth it to me.
Yeah.
Sure. To them, they're like, he hacked him with an axe. And it, you know, it freaks them out. And, you know, we're there like, whoa, cool.
He hacked him with an axe. Yeah, but we stitched him up.
Yeah, we fixed him. And they're mad because, you know, they shoot him full of ketamine. So even after you're done doing everything, you can't eat him. So there's
Well, you could.
Well, they'll start to wake up halfway through. There's so much ketamine in these animals. I mean, they'll start to wake up midway through. Like, one group's pig started waking up and thrashing around, and, you know, the cadre just came by and was like, boop, with the ketamine, put the pig back out. I'm like, yeah.
Shh.
Yeah. Shh. So we're doing this course, and they get together to have themselves a little protest in front of the base. And they were doing the whole rocks and bottles thing in front of the base. So they're like, hey, Doc, why don't you go down there? Because they're going to have EMS down there anyway. And just stand by for our guys in our unit. Because this way, you know, if anything happens, you're right there. And then you can transport from there. I'm like, yeah, cool. That's awesome. And I'm just watching them, like, you know, push people back and yell at people. I thought this was a funny story because canine. Actually, this ties into some stuff we were talking about earlier, too.
All right.
So there was this canine. His name was Benny. He was a German Shepherd. And Benny was a mean fucking bastard.
I love a German Shepherd named Benny is mean as fuck. That's just amazing.
He used to growl at his penis. That's
you know, I could totally see that too.
It's not.
I was gonna say, I have a German Shepherd that I could totally,
totally see.
It's not an exaggeration. Anything. As soon as he came out of his kennel, and his handler was I'm not gonna say her name, but it was a female handler. And every time this canine got out of his crate, he would literally bend down and growl at his dick, like bare teeth, like, come on, buddy, you ready? And go about his business.
I was psyching himself up.
Oh, yeah.
His game face on.
And he
totally I can believe, you know, obviously you see this stuff in the canine world or whatever. Right. I totally believe it.
Yeah, totally.
100% believe
100%.
It.
And I've caught for Benny before, and it wasn't fun. It
Explain
was like,
caught.
Okay, so they put you in a big big cloth suit so the dog can't bite through
the
it.
Suit.
And they go, run, Doc, run. And you can't move in this thing. So
you're like the Michelin man waddling down the road.
Yeah. Right. I'm trying to wobble my way from this killing machine as it
that could outrun you in normal conditions.
Easy. And I've gotten hit under the arm by Benny before, so he jumped up and grabbed me under the arm as I was running and put me down. It was just the force of the dog coming around you just pulls you off. It's weird. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And there's a primal fear that's associated with that.
Oh, yeah.
That I can't. When an animal is eating you, essentially, because you don't know, you know, that triggers some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they had Benny out, you know, on his aggression lead, which I guess is a really thick leash.
And
so I
think I can speak to that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. But speaking from what we talked about before we started, I've been in a riot, and you can point a gun at somebody, and they won't react the same way as if you point a horse or a dog at them. And I think psychologically it goes to what you were saying about being eaten, which is a shithead. You point a gun at him, he knows the parameters. I mean, most shitheads know under the circumstances that they're in whether you can or cannot shoot them.
Yeah.
And they know as long as they don't cross that line, it's all good. I can't get shot. Most of them don't actually know the threshold to sick the fur missile on them. So they also know it's a wild animal that maybe you can't completely control. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that psychological effect, when you have a crowd control issue, you bring the dog out because people tend to play a lot nicer when they see the dog. It's a psychological.
Just to give you an idea.
Okay.
Real short.
Okay.
We had a guy in a backyard on a perimeter, and we did not have a dog.
Mm-hmm.
So we made a dog announcement anyway and jingled our keys, and that fucker came out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Honestly,
we've done that.
I would.
We have done that. Come back or I'll sit the dog. Oh, I'm coming. I'm coming.
Mace, tasered, all that stuff.
No.
Whatever. But I hear a dog barking.
Fucking land shark.
It's over.
Done.
Yeah,
right.
It's a wrap, and they're so highly trained, it's insane. You know, that's their only goal is to grab you.
Right.
Well, so they had the dog out there, and it was pretty uneventful because there was a tall slatted fence. So there were like metal supports through the fence, probably I don't know 6-inch gaps in between, so you could reach through the fence at one part, and the NCO and her dog was walking perimeter. And some asshole from outside decided to, I don't know if he splashed the dog or sprayed the dog or something, but got the dog wet somehow, and the dog grabbed this person and then proceeded to try to pull this person through 6 inches of metal.
Well, because the dog don't know.
Dog was like, oh, you're coming through.
Yeah.
And I saw the end of that because I had to like run over to go help with that. But that was the most, I mean, deserving. You know, deserving good. I'm glad that the dog grabbed that person because we don't, you know what they could have been throwing bleach or whatever on the animal. But that was a crazy thing that I saw. Well, it's just mad respect for canines because that the injuries that they can cause are pretty, they're savage.
And you know, real quick, I'll tell you, military dogs.
Right.
And again, this is just in my local police department experience. I've taken bites from a lot of dogs. A lot of dogs. I don't even know how many dogs. But we've done some training in the past where we were the agitators for, well, at the time they were Navy SEAL dogs. Dude. Oh, God.
I don't even want it. Like,
dude, I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just they were the nastiest dogs that I've ever experienced in my life. Yeah. And I know full well I'm covered in a full suit. And
scary.
It's still... And again, this is probably after hundreds of bites over the years.
Right.
You want to talk about a pucker factor? These dogs will fuck you up.
And
it's scary.
I've never been on the business end of a military canine, but I can only imagine because I have been, my mentor on the police department was a canine handler for a long, long time, then ended up being the canine sergeant. His dog, under, you know, household conditions, roll over, give you his belly. And love to be pet. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go and work graveyard shift, and he'd say, hey, we're slow. Let's go do a little canine training. And I was always down for it, but I knew what it entailed. And I remember the first time he said, okay, we're going to do a hold and bark. So I think we went and woke the fucking firemen up and used their fire station. And they sent me into the fire station and told me just to find anywhere in the fire station I wanted and then suck up as close as I could into a corner or whatever, and just stand. He said, and put your hands behind your back and stand still. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right. And he goes, yeah, I got to do Holden bark training. And for the listeners, a Holden bark is they're going to send in the dog. The dog is going to find you. And then the dog is going to sit in front of you and bark.
1 inch away from your nuts.
Right.
Right.
So, well, it sounds, it's when you say, okay, the dog's going to find you. And then he's going to sit in front of you and bark. You're like, yeah, okay. Yeah. So that was my first experience with it. So I go in the fire station. I suck up into a corner. And then, you know, he's like, you ready? I'm like, yeah. He goes, so he makes the canine announcement. You know, when the dog finds you, stand still. You may be bit, blah, blah, blah. And I know it's just training. You know, I've pet this dog. He's my buddy. The only time he gets mad at me is when he's sitting in his car and I walk past the back door and he scares the fuck out of me because I don't know he's in there. So... I'm standing there and my hands behind my back and I'm the dog, you know, I can hear, you know, hear the jingle and the click, click, click of his toes on the fucking concrete. I know he's getting close and I thought, okay, you know, and then he finds me and it was like a different fucking dog found me. It was a completely different, this was a fucking wild beast from the fucking Yukon who had lived on a fucking diet of fucking reindeer and hate. And he sits in front of me and he snarls and he snaps and he's not biting me, but he's coming as close as you can to biting me, where I can feel his breath
in the
and
nuts.
Feel the inertia of him snapping and growling and barking. And I'm like, this is not barking. This is 664 bite. You know, this is attempted bite. And
then, he's waiting for you to move.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The second that, well,
that's
move,
what he said. Don't move. They said, don't fucking move. And so he finally walks over and pulls the dog back. I'm like, that's the scariest fucking shit I've ever been on the receiving end of. And he goes, yeah, yeah, well, you know, imagine if you're a bad guy and you know, that's why it's effective. So I can only imagine if you've taken a bite from a military dog, how much worse. Because our, you know, police dogs have to be around civilians. Military mm-hmm. dogs don't.
No. No.
They're not. They don't go to, no. you know, the opening of a new preschool.
And to see them work together in multiples.
Oof, a pack?
They're really, it was before my time, but we had a canine handler in my unit, but it was just before I was ever there. He killed himself on duty, and he had his dog on lead.
Yeah,
and he went down, and they ended up having to put the dog down because nobody could get close.
Ooh.
To the dog. The dog's name was Alf, and nobody could get close to Alf because he was just a monster. He said that the dog was basically pulling the handler. You know,
his body over
yeah. open ground because he was
trying to get him to safety.
Yeah, trying to get after people too as they tried to walk around and help the guy.
And this was on base.
This was on base. Yeah, this was Garrison.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing.
That's what he's supposed to do.
I know, but it's just they're just so.
So the PETA guy. So they took a bite. He tries to drag him through the freaking
fence. What were the injuries?
Yeah.
I think he got his hand a little bit, or I don't know if it was in the scuffle, because that dog, I was just committing savagery, but where he got him for sure was on the back of his leg for whatever reason. So it's like the guy tried to maybe step away as the dog got close, and the dog got his head through that gap and just grabbed him, but was trying to pull the back or side of this guy's thigh through the fence, and it looked like I don't know,
shredded
hamburger,
like a roast, like a right. pot roast. Yeah. You get the fibers in there.
Right, right.
I swear that's what it.
Now maybe you can speak to this. The dogs instinctively target certain areas, right? It's part of it. Part of it is training, but also part of it is animal instinct to how to take down another animal.
It depends. Yeah, I think all the dogs were a little different. In my experience, first of all, there are a lot of dogs going way back into training that were fed sleeves. Just asleep, so you didn't have anything else on, and the dog would be sent after you, and when you see the dog coming, you'd actually feed him your arm because it had a sleeve.
Yeah,
and,
we did that a bunch of times.
The problem with that, again, we're going way back, is you'd have dogs chasing suspects looking for a sleeve. Right? They don't see the sleeve, so I've seen dogs run right next to suspects. Like, where's the sleeve? Where's the sleeve? There's no sleeve.
Okay.
Right, so when dogs start to take limb bites, you know, over time, it could turn into a problem. But in my experience, I've been hit everywhere. I mean,
they'll just go for whatever they get.
I've been hit chest high. I've had dogs come at my head. I've had, you know, running away. I've had dogs center punch me right between the shoulders and take me down. And then it also depends on the dog. I mean, some dogs like to bite and just dig in and hold.
And then there are other dogs that are like typewriters. They'll just grab, pull, rebite, grab, pull, rebite, grab, pull, rebite. And they'll work their way all around your body. So it depends. It depends on the dogs.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That was scary in the suit because my head is open, my hands are open, and my feet are open, my boots, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing is dogs start to get smart mm-hmm. with the suits, and they'll realize that if you don't have caps on, mm-hmm. and when I say caps, I mean covering your hands, mm-hmm. they'll know that your flesh is inside the hole.
They'll stick their muzzle in the hole.
Oh, yeah.
Hand biters. Friggin',
yeah, they'll try and get their their muzzle up into the hole, knowing your fingers and hands are there.
And that's what's scary, too, because in the suit, you know, I can get my hands to my face, but it's not easy. And if there's a wild animal on top of me trying to rip my face off right now because he's like, oh, this is good training. Look at his face. Like, that's scary.
I hate your fucking face.
It's terrifying. They're terrifying, terrifying animals. But
super effective tool.
Absolutely.
Like, people don't even understand.
You don't fuck with a dog. You really
don't. No. I mean, why would you? And even a horse. Horse is not, you know, when you go into a riot or something, like I said, the mounted unit shows up. Horses are not attack animals. They're herbivores. But the raw power mm-hmm. of a horse and the sheer size of... Because a lot of people in a riot, they maybe never seen a horse...
In real life
before. In real life in person. And so you see one up close and you realize, this thing could fucking stomp me to death.
Unless you're the idiot at the DNC that decides he's going to go by the horse between the horse and the K-rail.
Well,
that was pretty cool to watch.
Buy the ticket, take the ride, right?
Oh, yeah. See a horse's ass bounce this guy off the gear.
That's right.
Don't go there.
Well, you know.
So speaking of trained dogs, did you guys see all the fucking wild dogs that were there?
Yeah.
All over the place? So you've got your trained fucking military dogs everywhere, right? And those are scary as shit. I got the chance to get in a bite suit, and I was like, I'm good. I just watched what happened to that guy. I'm good.
Right.
I don't need to get in that shit. So where our FOB was, there was wild dogs everywhere. Before I deployed, I had no idea what the big deal about spaying and neutering your animals was. I was like,
thousands of wild dogs in packs.
Fucking everywhere. And they roam around like wild fucking dogs because they are in packs.
Like, yeah.
In massive packs. So
now, out of curiosity, is there specific breeds to the area or is it just
they're a weird mutt. Like, yeah,
they look like fucking dingoes and shit.
Ghetto elk.
Yeah.
Ghetto elk. But
they're fucking sap.
You ever heard that before?
Nope.
They're absolute
savages.
That one
got me.
Like, they have their territories, and you'll have like four or five packs surrounding your FOB, and they each have their own territories. And so when we first get there, and we're doing a righty lefty with the unit that's
What's
there,
a righty lefty?
So when you get there, you have the unit that you're replacing
right.
in a seat next to you. So mm-hmm. as you're going through and you're changing over, hey, this is what's going on in the area. This is where you need to be careful with. This is where you need to worry about IED threats, all that kind of stuff. So as we get there, the first thing they say is they're like, the second most terrifying thing you're going to have to deal with besides IEDs is these fucking dogs that live around here.
So are they trying to attack you or they want food?
No, they'll attack you.
They'll attack
you. Wait,
no,
sure. Real? Like,
yes.
Your food?
They will fucking eat you.
Yes.
Really?
The 100%. Dingoes hate my baby.
No, 100%.
The dingoes hate my marine.
They will fucking eat you for real.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And what's really funny is you can learn to fuck with the dogs when you're on post. You'd pee in a bottle and you take it and you just chuck it as far out as you can and it lands. And all of a sudden, these two packs are like, we're going to go get whatever the fuck that was.
Right.
And they go and attack it and you just see this rabid dog battle.
Over a piss bottle.
Over a piss bottle. And then eventually one of the dogs would get fucked up because one dog would bite another dog. And then everybody just starts grabbing it and pulling and pulling and pulling.
Yeah. They eat each other.
Yeah.
So there is just pets that have...
Yeah. It's just like if you get some stray pets that run away and they're running around.
And they made this whole new fucking breed of zombie dogs.
This has been going on
for
a long time.
A long time.
Well, okay. So is this Iraq?
And Afghanistan.
And Afghanistan. Makes sense because you've had...
And Los Angeles.
I was going to say.
Because, I mean, it's been going on since the Russians invaded Afghanistan, so...
Yeah. You know what, though? It was funny because I've seen pictures of... I've never been to Iraq, but I've seen pictures of the dogs that are there. And I've seen... And then, obviously, I've seen the dogs that are in Afghanistan. And I feel like... I don't know how you describe the ones in Iraq, but I know the ones that at least we had where I was in Afghanistan, they're like giant chows. Like that's kind of like
giant chows, like a chow.
Yeah, look like a chow.
Well, okay, so that kind of makes sense because Afghanistan is over more towards Asia, and the chows are actually vicious fucking dogs
and big. I mean, like 100-plus-pound dogs. I mean,
right,
they were big, and the only—I mean, we saw them everywhere. They didn't really fuck with us too much. The only dog store I have was, two. One was guys up in the gun turret, and when we would be, you know, going from place to place, all of a sudden a magazine would be out. And they'd be like, yep. You'd be like, dude, it was nine dogs on the way. I'm like, fuck, bro. And then, and you know, and righteously, these dogs did have rabies. You could tell they were infected with rabies. They're nasty. Ooh.
And they foam will, at the mouth. They will fucking try and eat
yeah,
you.
Yeah, they will.
It's not like your next door neighbor's pet dog that might bite you and you'll be fine.
Yeah, no.
Right.
So
this is a righteous fear of yeah. a wild fucking yeah, yeah, no,
they're,
pack animal.
They're scavengers.
Right, right. Yeah.
And the only other time I had an experience with a dog like that, I remember we had done a raid, and then we provide aid to like kids and women and whatever else in that village. And I remember walking around a corner. And sure, this fucking chow right on, just kind of like leaning against the edge of a wall. And this is only like 10 feet away. He gets up and just starts staring at me. He's like, oh. And I'm like, fuck. He's and I didn't want to move.
Chanting
I'm like,
and I'm, shit.
I got, oh. And you could see like, it's angry. Like, and it, you know, it's pissed and I'm in its area, whatever. I'm like, fuck, dude, I don't want to move because if I move, this thing's going to fuck me up. I'm not going to get rounds off before this thing right. eats me. And I remember my squad leader at the time had come around the corner and, I knew he was behind me, and he had a silencer on his M4, so I just hear...
That dog lays down and goes, night-night.
So the best part was, I you see the impact, and he hit that thing right in the jugular. I mean, blood is spraying all over the wall. But the best part was is it didn't really flinch too bad, and it just kind of was like, oh.
Just it ran out of batteries.
Like, till its like last breath was just like, oh. And like, and just laid down. I'm like, that fucker was committed. Like... Till he died.
Well, look hard. You know, I mean, they're fucking wild animals. They're ready to eat you. They're so focused.
I can't think of anything worse than like you're taking rounds and a dog's attacking you at the same time. You know what I mean?
Because you don't know what to shoot at.
Or like you're trying to render aid to your buddy and a dog grabs onto your leg. You know, nobody needs that.
Yeah. You know what's funny? That I mean, obviously never experienced that. That would have been crazy.
That it'd be that you just got to clear them out of the. You got to clear stuff out of the way.
Yeah. Well, why? That's something that I think the listeners probably don't realize is the bizarre threats to military and law enforcement and firefighters that you come across that you don't realize are a threat until you get on the job or you get deployed. I guess this is going to be our quick story episode that we've been discussing where we're just all swapping crazy shit that's happened to us. But hey, let's just get into it. Everybody's got a little tiny quick story that they can tell, so we're just all going to tell them. I remember my first... My city is a pretty rural area. It's comparable to L.A., an area outside of Los Angeles called Foothill, which is it's both, you know, a downtown kind of small town-ish white trash community with horse property, you know, bred all around the outskirts. So I remember getting dispatched. I was in training, and we got dispatched to a loose horse in the roadway. And I thought, okay... I am way outside of LA now because I'm going to a loose horse in the roadway, man. And I'm laughing. And my training officer's like putting the car in gear and he's got his war face on. I'm like, well, aren't we calling animal control? He's like, fuck no. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, we need to get there now. And I said, why? And he goes, because a loose horse in the roadway is going to turn into an injury traffic collision real fucking quick. I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, horses are exactly that right height where the front end of your car is going to take out their legs and the rest of that body is going to come flying through the fucking windshield, crush everybody in the car. Then the horse is going to roll over the roof, land back on its hooves, and run away. And I'm like, what? He's like, oh, yeah, I've seen it happen. Oh, fuck. All right. So I get there. Fucking loose horse in the roadway. And my training officer's like, okay, I'm going to go stop traffic. You get the horse. So I went, what the fuck? Like, I was so unprepared for this shit because...
What are you supposed to be just like... Yeah, what do you do?
Okay, so this is where I look like an asshole because I grew up in L.A. And I didn't know the 4-H and stuff like that and the FFA. You know, shit, in L.A., FFA is the fist fuckers of America. It's... Who knows, right? I didn't know. Like, I seriously, when I moved up there, I went to the Mid-State Fair... And I was walking through the animal pen, and there's all these, like, 12, 13-year-old kids with cows and pigs and fucking animals. And I'm like, these parents are fucked up. And my stepmother who grew up there, she's like, what do you mean? I said, well, they're making their kids babysit the animal while they go run around the fair. And they're like, no, no, no. that's that kid's cow. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? She's like, no, they're part of the future farmers of America, and they've raised that cow from a calf, and they're very proud of it, and they're showing the cow, and if they win, they can sell the cow for a lot of money. And I'm like, you're shitting me. Like, it was just another world to me. So I, city kid, right? So this horse is running all to hell and back, and I get out of my car, and it fucking runs towards me, and I'm, and I just jump out of the way. I'm like,
that's a good idea.
Fuck this. And I swear to Christ, there's this blonde gal, you know, and she's got her blue jeans and her, you know, placket front cowboy shirt and boots on. She's in her yard mucking stalls because it was all horse property around there. And she goes, you got to get in front of it. I'm like, no. What are you talking about? She goes, you got to get in front of it. And I said, you got to get in front of it. She goes, no, seriously. It, if you stand directly in front of the horse and raise your arms up, then when it runs at you, it will stop. And I'm like,
I've seen that on TV.
Right. And I'm like,
I have.
This is some bullshit.
That depends on how scared that horse is.
There was no training hours for me to look at it and go, is she telling the truth? What? The? He's down the road stopping traffic so that we don't have a collision. And so I'm like, okay. So, you know, I don't know shit from shit. I walk out and the horse starts to look at me and I'm like, okay. So I just hold my arms up and I stand there and he looks at me and he just immediately gallops straight towards me. And he was probably 20 feet from me and I went, fuck this shit. And I jumped out of the way again. And I'm like, no, it's not happening. And then this 5'2" blonde gal is like, oh, and she rolls her eyes.
You're such a bitch.
Exactly. This is where this little 5'2" blonde gal turned me into a bitch. And she goes, ugh. And she literally made that noise. And she grabs some sort of a rope off the fucking, you know, fence post. And she's, you know, making all the horse, you know, whatever. And the horse looks at her and he, you know, and it starts running. And then instead of like me, where I put my arms up and it ran straight at me, the horse started running in a different direction. So she moved to her left and got in front of it and raised her arms. And she fucking stood her ground, man. And that horse ran up and got within a couple feet of her and just put on the brakes and stopped. And she's all, you're a good boy. And she put the fucking rope around. I'm like, oh, this is some fucked up shit right here.
That rope's called a lead.
Hell no.
There you go. So, right. So, no. I would rather face an armed suspect than that fucking horse again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't care about you.
They
wanna,
don't.
When they, I mean, cows, too, are the same way. Running steers. They'll when they get excited, too, especially, anything's on the table. If they can't go left or right, they'll try to jump over you, and then you usually end up about their hoof height.
Right, but if anybody had told you...
That's a, they call that a double jump, don't they?
I'd have to read back to my English writing days.
But if anybody had told you when you signed on the dotted line to go to basic that one of the scariest fucking things when you got overseas would be a pack of dogs, you'd have called them a liar.
Yeah, I would have.
You're like...
I would have said there were no dogs in Tears of the Sun. Bruce Willis never had to deal with any of those.
Wasn't that Asia?
Where was that? I think they were in Africa.
Oh, was that Africa?
One. Tears of the Sun was Africa.
Oh, it was Africa. Yeah.
But you would have been like, no.
No way.
I don't know what you're talking about. Like, okay, maybe a stray dog would growl at me and I'd kick it and it'd run away, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever. I would have never said to you that when I started my career as a police officer that the scariest first call I ever went on was a loose horse. I would have said, you know, it's the man with a gun call. But I was excited for the man with the gun call, but I was ill prepared for a loose horse call.
You know what to do with the man with a gun, or you know what the full parameters of that situation are.
Right.
What the end could be.
I got a bunch of those. Yeah, I got a bunch of stories.
Yeah. I mean,
but with a horse, you don't know.
Or dog.
Well, I bet you were on the good end of the dog for years.
I was on the bad end more.
Really?
Of the bad dogs.
Really? Oh, so working with the ghetto elk, is that it?
Well, I'm just trying to think of some of the searches I've been on with those dogs. I mean,
I remember a particular dog that scared the daylights out of me.
Who, Arco?
Arco.
Fucking Arco.
Arco was the most terrifying.
You want to assault these dogs?
Yeah. He chased me on top of the chain link kennel.
You jumped on top?
Well, I don't know if he was coming after me or not, but I wasn't sticking around to find out. That was for sure.
Yeah, he was a little black Malinois. Little, really. He was only like 50 pounds. Black Malinois.
Well, but Malinois are a whole different thing. Oh,
that dog latched onto my ass so many times, I can't even tell you. I mean, no, literally, like on my ass.
Well, and I've seen, I've
like
seen
holding my ass
photos. I've never known a dog, but I've seen photos of dogs that are so, I guess, bite driven. They've broken teeth.
Yeah,
and they have to get titanium teeth, fucking yeah. teeth replacements.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you. So here's a search. We had a takeover robbery. This is probably actually this is the worst bite I've ever seen. We had a takeover robbery of like this is going back a little bit, a music store. Anyway, these guys they do the robbery. They get out. We find the car going down the street. We get up behind it. Pursuit's on. So we get in a pursuit for maybe about like 3 miles, not even that far. Gets off surface streets, goes into the, they don't know where they are, obviously. So they drive into a cul-de-sac, right? Right. Got nowhere to go. Yeah. both doors open, assholes and elbows, right. Money on the floor. Both of them have guns. One guy goes to the front yard and lays down. The other guy takes off through the houses.
Yeah. So we have one of them was smart.
Yeah. So we have one guy in custody, set up a perimeter, and we start doing a yard-to-yard search with a canine. So we're in the backyard of one of these houses, and these are like decent sized properties. So there's a trailer, like a camping trailer, in the backyard. And so the dog's searching yard, comes by this trailer, starts circling the trailer, circling. We're like, oh, this motherfucker's in the trailer. We know he's armed. We saw him armed, right? Make the announcements, and hey, come on out. We're going to let the dog in. Come on out. We let the dog in. Crickets. Nothing. We're like, okay, fuck it. So we breach the door. And so the way, if I can describe it, so the door opens. So it's like a regular trailer, you know, side door. The door opens. As you step into the trailer, you would have the kitchen right in front of you. It's very small.
Right.
But if you made an immediate left, you would have double bunk beds on your left.
Okay.
Right? So the space between the lower bunk and the ground or the floor of the trailer is like maybe 2 feet.
Okay.
At the most. Maybe a foot and a half, right?
The best place to hide.
So this fucker slid himself under the lower bunk. If you can picture this. Man. His head is toward the door.
And oh, so he went head towards the door, feet towards the wall.
So the feet are away. Uh-huh. The head is toward the door. And his face is turned to the left, which means his face is looking to where you would be walking.
Oh, this is not going to end well.
Dude.
Lead with your face, guy.
This dog's name was Barry. He was a 90-pound Malinois.
90-pound?
90
okay,
pound.
So... Okay,
he was like a reindeer with muscles.
So for the listeners, it. Though, because there's a, the Belgian Malinois typically is a smaller, more compact, lithe, athletic German 50, Shepherd.
50 to 70, 50 to 65.
Right. And a typical adult male German Shepherd police canine that when you say a police canine, everybody pictures a German Shepherd... a typical adult male is what, 80, 90 pounds, right? And then my, okay. No, like I have a German Shepherd. He's on the big side. He's 95 pounds.
Yeah, it depends where they're coming from, right. In Europe or if they're local. I sure. Mean, anyway, but yes.
But a Belgian Malinois is a.
I've seen some big Malinois.
More, yeah, so a 90 pound Malinois is a big fucking Malinois.
It's like a mini horse.
Right. And they're it's like a, it's like if somebody bred a German Shepherd with a pit bull, they're that muscular.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So we breach the door. And the dog literally jumps up into the trailer and just swings his face to the left and tucks his face right under the right under the bunk.
Lunchtime.
Literally, I mean, the dog's half of his ass was out the door still because he was a big dog.
Right.
And he was already on
and
the bike.
And he knew right where that fucker was.
He knew exactly where that fucker was. And he grabbed the first thing that was right there.
His face.
His face. Yeah. So if you could picture, how could I describe this? So if the dog's face... was perpendicular.
Uh-huh.
Wait. Didn't he get called off the bite and then got resent in? Because there was nothing, I thought, in the first bite.
No. You're thinking of a different one.
Oh, it was a different one.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, that's what happens when you grow up in a house with dog bite stories.
No, that was a different one. So if you could picture, his face would be perpendicular to the suspect's
face. I see. Turned to open mouth, kissed the dude.
The guy's like,
right,
this.
Yeah.
Right? So sure. And the dog came in straight.
Right.
They Frenched each other.
Yep.
Canine to cheek right there.
Exactly. Right. So top jaw was on one cheek. Bottom jaw was on the other cheek. Grab and pull.
Oh!
Right? Because he's trying to pull him out.
Oh, God. Can we see that in a movie?
I want to see that in a movie.
Oh, my God.
So, that is something you would not... Like, if you saw that in a movie, you would
think it was
gratuitous and fake.
It's funny
bullshit.
You say that, because seeing it for real, it looked like a movie.
Right.
It didn't look real. it really didn't look real. It was real.
Right.
It really didn't look real.
It was real.
Yeah. And that was just a straight bloodbath. And I don't even know what ended up with that guy.
Ugh.
But he literally, if I could, the only way I could describe it is from jaw to lips. Jaw to lips on both sides was just shredded, opened.
Oof.
Right? And everything was just hanging.
Yeah.
And of course, Barry grabbed and pulled and got nothing. Right?
Right.
So he goes right back under and starts to work the body. The guy can't move.
Yeah, because he's pinned. Pushed himself in a corner.
He's pushed himself in a corner.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and all Barry's doing, because he's a big dog, so all he can get in is his head sideways, right? So
ears,
he's grabbing nose, shoulder, pull,
shoulder,
ribs, pull, right. Leg, pull.
And none of those he's actually able to get a good bite. Well,
he's getting good bites.
But he's not getting enough to pull. He's basically taking skin and muscle off.
Yeah, because the guy can't move. And
right.
Barry's not letting go.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
See, as you're telling the story, I almost get like that picture of a shark, like a great white
yeah,
on a whale.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Just bite and let me take this chunk
yeah.
out. And let me take this chunk out.
Yeah. So this guy was shredded.
And he's pulling pieces off going, that's not what I wanted. I want the whole thing, mm-hmm. motherfucker.
Yeah. So finally we pull the dog out. And then we're telling this guy, you got to come out, or yeah. we're letting the dog back in because you're armed and we're not coming in there.
Right.
And finally he came sliding out.
Well, so
literally slithered out.
I think what we've learned in this episode of War Stories is if the military or the police bring an animal, be on your best behavior. Because... Yeah, 9 times out of 10, your shit is going to get fucked up. Whether it's a horse kicking you into K-rail or a Belgian Malinois tearing your face off. Or Iraqi wild dingoes carting off small marines into the night.
They don't like pemflares, though. You shoot a pemflare at them.
Who said small marines?
Well, you know, I'm assuming.
Small marines?
I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't either.
I don't know what you're talking about pen flares either. Somebody got us taken away from us.
Oh, you know about that story.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Oh, fuck. All right. Well,
I think that's another one.
Okay, so on our next episode, someone's going to have to tell the pen flare story along with their full story.
I had a good pin flare story too. Like, I feel like if you were assigned pin flares, you have a good story.
Okay.
A good story.
So
I've got three.
Stand by, because coming up, we will be having a pin flare episode. Apparently, so until our next pin flare episode, which who knows, maybe we'll do that next. How can people find us, Sohan? Because I've been noticing social media is kind of starting to go off a little bit.
Kind of a thing. For these millennials.
For these young people with their...
You're one of those.
Technically, I am one
texting.
Of those.
Hey, speaking of which, just side note about technology. Have you heard about text neck? Texting neck?
Text neck? No.
So apparently all these kids are spending so much fucking time.
Oh, they get a horn on the back of
yes!
their head or some shit?
So they're yeah. spending so much time staring at their phone with yeah. their chin to their chest, fucking playing fucking games and texting, right? So their neck
yeah.
so their neck muscles are atrophying because awesome. They're spending so much time with their chin to their chest.
They're literally
right?
evolving.
So their fucking body is changing rapidly, which, fuck you, Darwin, evolution happens a lot quicker than you think. Their bone structure is trying to adjust for the fact that they're unable to keep their head up, thinking it's a muscle problem, and it's growing a fucking bone spur out the back of their skull like
a horn
fucking
stabilizer.
Horn that's trying to keep their head up from staring at their fucking phone all the time. And on that note, get off your fucking phones, boys and girls.
Wait,
so,
is that
why
the thing
can't
coming
you
out of
Zohan's
this? Neck?
Huh?
Is that the thing coming out of the back of your neck?
I know, but they don't. They don't fucking hold their phone up and look at it. They fucking stare. And that's, I went into a classroom for a training, and the teacher had the most brilliant sign up on the wall, and it said, I know when you're texting because staring down at your crotch isn't a standard position.
Go figure.
Okay, so how can people find us?
You follow us on Instagram at War Stories Official, or on, you can do the same thing as far as our Facebook is concerned. We have a phone number if you want to call and leave us.
Yeah, voicemail. Leave us your story.
Voicemail.
We'll play it.
Yeah. We have in the
or
past.
Or tell us to go fuck yourself.
Yeah, we have in the past. We've
somebody sent us a message and with their story, we read it. He actually wrote me back. He's like, oh, I was super stoked to hear
my
story.
Did he give us another story?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, we're going to read that.
That number is 626-692-5122. If you don't want to call the number, we also have an email. It's a mailbagwarstories@gmail.com.
Yeah, it's mailbag.warstories.
Is it a dot there? I can't see shit. I'm sorry. I'm seeing double.
Well, you also didn't sleep last night. You were out crushing crime and suppressing evil.
Yeah, fucking.
And then our Instagram is @war_stories_official. Yeah, but Instagram's been doing well.
Yeah, Instagram's doing really well. But if you just type in War Stories Official, it comes up. Yeah, you'll see it.
You don't have to do the underscore. Yeah. And just so people are aware, if you're searching iTunes or Stitcher or anything like that, and you just type in War Stories, there will be a couple of podcasts that come up. Like Oliver North has one called War Stories. Right. And we may have to – that's why we differentiate by – it's our mother podcast that spawned this whole thing.
Manstalgia Presents.
So if you see Manstalgia Presents or War Stories by Manstalgia, you can find us that way.
Yep.
So – send us your stories, send us your emails, send us hate mail, send us whatever you want.
Yeah.
But
and we're lining people up, especially in the past weeks, we're lining people up that have hit us up on Instagram. So we're more than willing to hear your stories, and we're more than willing to talk to you guys and get you guys on the show. We just got to set up a time and date, and that's kind of on you guys to hit us up because we don't know you yet.
Right. So if you hit us up, we'll try and set it up. We can Skype with you. You don't have to be in the LA area.
Right.
Hopefully one day we'll be able to take the show on the road and actually go visit people and schedule episodes in their cities and stuff like that. But we ain't there yet. So.
Boom. I'm there. Let's go.
Yeah. Let's fucking take the show on the road. So until that time.
You're only there because every day is Saturday for you.
Oh. Never mind. I was about to say today's Saturday.
All right. So any final thoughts, gentlemen? Any wild dogs that if you're in Iraq and Afghanistan, watch out for fucking wild dogs. Yeah. Really. And if you're in the city of Los Angeles, also watch out for wild dogs.
No.
Ghetto elk.
Ghetto elk.
Ghetto elk.
Somehow a pit bull fucked a chihuahua at some point.
Yeah. And if you wonder why cops shoot dogs, and ATF aside, because we all know the ATF, they shoot dogs. But I've heard stories from cops that have said, I put 3 rounds in a pit bull and they all bounced off his skull and he still bit somebody.
Oh, have I got a story for you on
that one. All right. We'll save that one. Put a pin in that because there are some pit bull, LA pit bull stories. They've got thick ass skulls.
Yeah.
So if you're pit
bull. Why did the cops shoot that poor dog?
Because that poor dog was going to fucking eat his face off, similar to fucking your Belgian Malinois, Godzilla, the fucking Belgian Malinois. So until our next episode, come home with your shield or on it.